We are going to last week you had the great honor of hearing from Pastor Chris Radke. I love to hear him speak. How about you? He's kind of like he's got this Marvel or comic thing, you know, kind of like, remember Batman and Robin with pow, zap, you know, he's got these pictures going in the background. I love how he does that. But what I love more than anything is he is passionately in love with Jesus, and he just wants to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so I love to be able to hear his heart. And the week before that, or maybe it was two, I'm kind of losing track, it was an opportunity where my wife and I were able to come and present when we started talking about our soul and soul ties and what they are. And I kind of want to leap off of that. We started talking about soul ties. If you don't have an outline, there's one in your bulletin. And I gave this to you 2 weeks ago, I believe. And we're actually going to get through the outline today, I think. And we're going to end with identifying soul ties. And what an opportunity, I don't know about you. I hope that you feel this way. I really do, because I don't want to have wasted your time. But I really have been blessed through these last few months and just what the Lord has been revealing to me and to us as the body of Christ about how powerful our souls are and how we need to surrender those, because it's only in a surrendered state that you're successful, that you can accomplish much. In the unsurrendered state, all you're left with is duking it out with yourself. You're left with you, and that's it. And so there's so many things we've talked about. I started the series talking about my Stretch Armstrong. You remember that? This is a mini Stretch Armstrong because the bigger ones are more expensive. And when I was a kid, my goal was to stretch him and see how long before he snapped, because I wanted to see the goo that was inside of him. And you know what? There he goes again. Last week what happened was, as I was in my office and I was going through a stressful time, and Stretch, he had a bad day. He had a really bad day. I mean, he was like about 6 foot long there. I was just walking around and doing this. And I literally think, I thought I broke him. I thought I broke his knees. I mean, because I had stretched his legs so hard, the kneecap parts popped out. And I thought, oh no, you can actually break the mini Stretch Armstrong. And I thought I'd broken him, but I let him alone for a while. And guess what? He went right back to the shape that he belonged. Now, that's the way Stretch is supposed to work. But I thought I punctured the skin, and I thought I had broke him. But yet, even when it looked like he was broken, he still came back into the shape that he was meant to be. And I couldn't help but think, how many times have I felt broken? How many times has it physically appeared like things are just screwed up and nothing is going right, everything is going wrong, my life is a miserable wreck, but somehow by the grace of God, he comes along and he renews, he restores, but only to those who are willing to surrender. Oh, you mean he doesn't want to save those who don't surrender? No, he wants to save them and move in their life as well, but we must choose to surrender to him first. That's where it begins. And so we've talked about an unsurrendered soul, a surrendered soul, what it means to have stronghold thinking. We've talked about so many things I can't even remember right now, but it's been a journey that's led us up to this moment. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about soul ties and what they are. And in your outlines, it says it at the top there about what a soul tie is. We talked about what the wrong agreements are in our life, learning to identify soul ties. Now, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, you might be going, you know, what are you talking about, soul ties? We said that in our souls, soul ties are wrong agreements. It's whenever a person enters into a wrong agreement with another person because of a perceived mutual benefit. And there is a supernatural link created between their souls. Now, you may go, hold on, Pastor. What do you mean? Like if I agree on this and they agree on this, there's like this static electricity that zaps and arches, and all of a sudden there's a connection that's made. That's more like Marvel Comics right now, okay? That's Batman versus Superman. That's Wonder Woman. That's, you know, Iron Man kind of stuff. You're telling me there's some kind of a supernatural link that kind of through, there's a connection? Yes. I'm saying that in our souls, when we connect with another person in a way that we're using the other person and agreeing with them to get what we want, it is a wrong agreement that is not going. Have you ever heard the phrase, you might get what you want, but you won't want what you got? You ever hear that one? You may make an agreement because there's something you see in somebody else, but as soon as you get it, the thing you get, you may not want after a while. See, these wrong agreements are things that God wants to reveal to us in our lives. We talked about our souls and how powerful they are. Our souls are very powerful. Our souls want what our souls want, and we will find ways to get our needs met. We will manipulate and we will make wrong agreements, whether conscious or unconscious, because we want what we want. So it's a wrong agreement is what a soul tie is. And so we talked a few weeks ago about how soul ties cause us to look horizontally to other human beings rather than vertically to God. God has designed us that we connect with Him. But when you make an agreement with somebody else, it focuses you on a horizontal level. You start looking for everybody else to meet your need. You start looking to everybody else to answer your questions instead of looking to Christ. You say, well, I'm looking to Christ and others. You can receive counsel, but He is supposed to be the one that we draw from. And when you make a wrong agreement, you're cutting God out of the equation. And you're making it about you. It focuses, when you make a wrong agreement, it focuses on you. And I shared with you last week about, or a couple weeks ago, about the dashboard of the car. When an indicator light goes off, what does that mean? Well, it depends. What does the warning light say? You know, if it says, check engine. And how do you fix that when that light comes on? Well, for some of us, we take it to a mechanic. Others fix it. Others unscrew the bulb and think they fixed the problem. But you haven't. You just removed the indicator. And in our souls, when there's a soul tie, your soul will have indicators that might show you where you're making wrong agreements. Now, what I want to ask you this morning is just to keep your heart open, okay? Hello, check mic. What I want to ask you this morning is to just keep your hearts open, okay? And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you, if you may, through this message, the Holy Spirit may go, there's something, there's something, there's something. And you may say, there's nothing. Or you may say, geez, there's like 12 things already. Stop it already. You know, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will only reveal things to you that He knows He can trust you with because He loves you. And let the Holy Spirit show you. And what we're going to do at the end of service is this. We're going to create a little slice of time because I want to give ourselves an opportunity to respond to what I believe the Lord wants to say to us today, okay? So if you're here today, you may say, man, the Lord's revealing to me some of these things. Then let's take care of it. Last 2 weeks ago, we talked about soul ties. If you deal with a soul tie is a connection in an unhealthy way with another person, that if something happens over here and this person acts one way, it affects the other. And if you break a soul tie with somebody, they will know it on that soulish level. And don't be surprised, we shared a couple weeks ago, that when you break a soul tie, that the person you broke a soul tie with all of a sudden shows up in your life. You haven't seen them for 15 years, then all of a sudden you deal with the soul tie, you break the soul tie, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there they are on Facebook. They want to be your friend. There they are on Instagram. There they are on Snap or whatever. You know, there's so many things out there, I don't even know what they are. There they are showing up at the store. And I shared with you in the humblest of hearts, and my wife knew the story. We dealt with soul ties and how they can, when you deal with them, things can pop up. And we were at Mother's Day, and we preached the message, and we went out to eat. And you all know that I'm not perfect, right? You don't have to agree that quick. Ponder a little bit. You could kind of go, is he? He could. No. I'm not. I've shared with you. I've made errors and I've made mistakes. And I share with you at a young age, I entered into relationships I probably shouldn't have entered into. And here we're dealing with soul ties and issues. And all of a sudden we go out to eat and bam, who's there? Somebody from the past. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. And we're eating and getting our drink and turn around. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, that's just the initial thought. I'm just being honest, okay? Like, why can't I just have a normal day? And, you know, and the first thing you feel is guilt, shame, embarrassment. Oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? And then the enemy jumps on board. Yeah, you are stupid. You're a loser. I can't believe you would do that kind of stuff. Isn't it funny how the enemy lures you into things? And then once he gets you there, he looks the other way and says, loser, and starts to condemn you for the choice he lured you into? So here's the thing. Remember those two words I said, caught it? Remember that? Say it with me. 1, 2, 3, caught it. You got to do that. When you see this, I looked over and I saw this person and I didn't even look to see if my wife noticed because I just somehow knew that she had to have noticed, you know? And I looked and I just, oh man, and I'm dumb, stupid, this stuff's going through and all of a sudden I just got done with this message and I went, oh wait, caught it. You got to catch these things. Because don't beat yourself up. Don't live in the past. Don't let the enemy knock you down for the things you've done. You start living and walking in the freedom of Christ. Use your keys. He's given you the keys to the kingdom. So here's what I did. I went, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm forgiven. There's nothing. Caught it. And I kind of went, put it in my pocket. I started to do that because we're going to the movies. We've got things to do. And the Lord said, do not put that in your pocket. Deal with it right now. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? We're getting ready to go out and have a good time. And he said, use your keys. And I'm like, that's right. I heard a preacher talk about that once. Something about binding and loosing. So I'm like, Lord, can I deal with it later? And he said, no, now. Now. I'm standing at the soda fountain. And he said, now. And I'm like, now, now? He's like, now, now. And so I just simply said, Lord, I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my will to your will, Father God. I bind my emotions to the stabilizing power of your Holy Spirit. And I loose all that wrong thinking. I loose those words that say I'm stupid. I loose any guilt, shame, and embarrassment. And I'm walking, Lord, and here's the thing. Here's where we're getting on soul ties. Was there a soul tie still? Because I had broken that one. I don't know, but I didn't want to guess. I wanted to know I was right. I said, and Lord, if there be any soul tie, wrong agreement right here, I ask that you would smash, crush, destroy that soul tie in the name of Jesus, and that part of my heart that had belonged to anybody else but you, I now give back to you. You know that place in your heart that you fill? You know, it's like it's only Jesus can fill it, but you've tried to fill it with guys and girls and booze and smokes and whatever else you want to throw in there. And all of a sudden, God comes and he says, listen, I want to break that. I want to break that. What is that? I want to break that soul tie. Because we're leaning on that other person to meet a need that God should be meeting, right? And so so I just did that quick prayer. Now, right about this time in first service, I actually had somebody over here raise their hand. They had a question, like we were in school. I'm like, hey, that's pretty sweet. And it was a legitimate question. They said, what if somebody creates a soul tie with you and you didn't want them to do it? We're going to get to that. Here's what I want to talk to you about in just the next 20 minutes. What happens when that scenario happens? Or whose responsibility is it when you recognize a soul tie? Can you have a soul tie with mom and a dad, which we kind of talked about that already? Can you have a soul tie with somebody who's now gone, passed away, no longer here? I want to talk to you about that and just kind of reference that a little bit, because here's what happens is if we don't recognize soul ties for what they are, we spend our lives trying to just fix things in life. You know what I mean by being a fixer? I was a fixer. Not, don't get me wrong. I can't build buildings. I can't fix cars. I can't do anything really handy-dandy that way. I can do some basic things around, but I'm talking about in relationships. I would always try to fix things. If something's wrong and my wife's not happy, I want to try to fix it. Why? Because I want her to be happy. Because if she's happy and doing good, then there's more peace right there in my home, right? If my children are going through a hard time, I want to fix it for them so that they have more peace in their life. And let's just be honest. When we start fixing things for people, a lot of the times why we're doing it is because we want peace in our life. And there's nothing wrong with wanting peace, but the way you go about it can be unhealthy at times. We have to learn to let people take responsibility for areas in their lives where the Lord's going to work on them. So let me start with this. We've talked about husbands and wives and a little bit. We talked about actually parents with children, but can husbands and wives have soul ties? Yes, absolutely. Because what happens in life is when one partner's dependency is on another partner and it gets excessive or out of balance, then what it does is it creates a neediness. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can find some times where one's more, I need more of your time, I need this for you, I need to be with you, I need. And then the other person's like, oh. And they start to go nuts. And you see, what happens is simply this. If we're not careful, that neediness begins to drain the other person who's expected to meet those impossible needs. It is not the person's job as the partner to all meet every need. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to meet that need, and they need to go to the Holy Spirit for that. You see, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is your Savior, not your husband, not your wife, not your child, not your friend. Jesus is. And if you make any wrong connection outside of that, it brings destruction. Now, if you're here today and you've been one of those people that have been kind of needy, I'm not making fun of you or throwing rocks at you. I was one of them. I found myself at a place in time in life where I was like, I need. And it was very draining. You see, the progression of emotion in this type of a dependency moves from frustration to fatigue, from fatigue to resentment, and then resentment can escalate into hatred. If you don't deal with these wrong agreements, they can start to cultivate this neediness that leads into dependencies, to frustrations, to fatigue, to resentment, to hatred. You see, marriages turn sour when partners cannot meet each other's needs as expected, and God's not allowed to meet them. You know, we cut God out of the equation. We put all the expectations on one another. The best insurance that you can have, by the way, in your marriage is to do this. Place God first. That's where it starts. You place God first. You surrender to His will. Number two, you let Him heal both of you. That means let God heal your wife. Don't you try and go heal her. That means let God heal your husband. Don't you go try to fix him or heal him. Pray for him, but let God do the work. And let God heal both of you. Use your binding and loosing prayers, and then He does the rest. He does the rest. You see, God wants to do that work in our hearts and in our lives, but we have to allow Him and grant Him that access. Because if we don't, we'll spend life, we can make these wrong agreements. And here's the thing about soul ties. Soul ties and that wrong agreement, what happens is one will be using another to get something from them. And it's not about glorifying anybody but themselves. That's what it's about. And we wonder why we struggle. And God wants us to break free from that, because that part of our heart that we're using the other to fill, that belongs to God. And that's why in your bulletin, I put one of these things in there too. This is a prayer for breaking soul ties. I put it on cardstock so it would last a little longer in your Bible. So you can use it. You can use these prayers. It's not about how you pray it. It's not about saying these exact words, by the way. You don't have to say the prayer perfectly. It's just about having an idea of where to go to say, Lord, I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see. You know, there's indicators that God will give, and you'll know it sometimes that you may be having an unhealthy connection or a soul tie when you're constantly thinking about another person. And I'm not just talking about, oh, they're just on my heart. I'm talking about you always got to check in with them and see what they're doing, because how they're doing is going to affect how you do. If you've ever been there, that's an indicator that there might be a soul tie. You can have an indicator where it seems like you've got to do all the protecting, and you've got to do all of the, you got to make sure everything happens, and it's all about you. Maybe it's in your family or something, and you feel such a fear or an anxiety that overwhelms you that you're taking on a responsibility that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God our Father. Why are you doing that? Well, maybe. Could it be? Well, I don't know. But if you ask God, He'll reveal it to you. I can't tell you, but God can. He can tell you what's going on. See, God can reveal to me things in my life that nobody else can without triggering some emotions. God can reveal to me and say, Jim, see, what He'll do is to say, Jim, we worship, we sing, and we seek the Lord, and we say, Lord, reveal to me, show me, I want to grow. And God will go, really? Yeah? You want to? Okay, you ready to see it? Here it is. And He'll warn you. May not look as pretty as you think. And then He'll show you a part of your heart, and He'll go, there it is. And you'll go, ooh. You'd be like, that's me? That's not where I'm at? And He goes, yeah. You see, God can do it in a gentle way and show you your sin. He can do it in a way and correct your attitude. He can do it in a way and say, you are controlled by fear and worry, where if anyone else told me that, ding, ding, we'd be fighting. Somebody else came up to me and said, you are so fearful and worried. I said, oh yeah, well, who do you think you are, Jack? You don't know my life. You know, I'll get defensive. But when the Holy Spirit does it, He has a way of revealing it to you. You ready? You sure? Here it goes. And He'll go, there it is. Now, don't let that discourage you. Oh, you know, if the Lord showed me what was going on, I know it'd just be a big old mess inside there. Hey, I just want to put your mind at ease. We all have big old messes, okay? We all have things that we need to have revealed to us that the Lord wants us to grow in. The question is, are you going to let the Lord show you that? Because when He does, you know what He's saying? You know, why would the Lord show me that? Because He loves you. Why would the Lord want to show me something that I'm immature in and I'm not growing in, so that you can be healed and let the Lord heal you and then let the Lord lead you? You see, He wants you to get to that place. But if we are connected to anything but Him as our Savior and we have a wrong agreement, we won't get to those places. So why do we make wrong agreements with others? Well, usually it's because of that mutual benefit it talked about. There is a mutual benefit that we want to have. As a husband and wife, it could be, and I'm just using my wife as an example because it'd be kind of weird to point to anybody else, but you know, I can say, you know, hey, there's something that I see in you that I want, and if you'll give it to me, what do you want from me? And we don't talk like this and say this, but this is what's going on in our souls. If you give me this, I'll give you that. And we're like, okay, deal. And we kind of shake on it, and we have now made a wrong agreement. So she gets what she wants to benefit herself. I get what I want to benefit myself. And we really don't care about one another. It's not really about loving one another. It's about loving ourselves, and we're just using one another to love ourselves. That's what a wrong agreement does. That's why so many people hook up. Because they want to make themselves happy. Now, I'm not here to bring condemnation if anyone's hooked up. I'm just saying that your soul's very powerful and it wants what it wants, and that's why we do what we do. But God has something much greater for you that goes beyond that. He wants to meet you on the soul level through the Spirit of God that's inside of you. That which you're looking to have satisfied, that which you're looking to have filled with hope, with possibilities, with value and purpose, God can give that to you. But what drags you down is when we have these wrong agreements. So what do? You pray about it. It's simple, really. Like I told you, I was in the middle of a restaurant, and the Lord said, cut it. I was going to put it in my pocket. He said, don't put it in your pocket. Deal with it now. And if the Lord's revealing something to you, catch it and use your keys that God's given you. You're binding and loosing keys. Now, when it comes to soul ties, can someone pray and break a soul tie for somebody else? Let's say Jane and John are sitting on the front row, and I can see clearly that they have, there's no Jane and John up here, by the way, but they clearly have a wrong agreement. I can tell that they're mutually benefiting one another for the sake of themselves, and it's not right. So let's say, because I've been going through soul tie stuff, and I've been dealing with things, I recognize it. I'm sensitive to it. So I say, oh, I see in their life that this is a wrong agreement. Is it my responsibility to go to them and say, you guys have a soul tie? No, that's not my responsibility. Is my responsibility to go and break the soul tie for them? No, that is not my responsibility. Well, what good is it knowing all this stuff if I can't go around shooting everybody? You see, that's not why God deals with you. First of all, He deals with you and you alone. And He will deal with them and them alone if they're willing. Because remember, a soul tie is very powerful. Our souls are very powerful. And when souls make an agreement, they will not want to do anything about that until they see how that's bringing destruction in their life and how it's taking from them. You cannot sever soul ties between other people, whether they're believers, whether they're non-believers. That must be done by one or more of the people involved in it. Which brings me to first service, the person who asked the question. What if somebody else has entered into a soul tie with me and I didn't want them to? It's kind of like they did a drive-by soul tie. You know, I didn't ask them. They just walked by and made this wrong agreement. I'm like, no. Oh, man. You know, I can't tell you how much that just irritates me. Can I just say that? Yeah, one of my pet peeves. I'm like, that's like letting your dog come into my lawn and do its business and then not picking it up. You know what I'm talking about? Why would you come into the soul realm and come over here and attempt to make a wrong agreement with me when I clearly don't want anything, hear my heart. Not that I don't want anything to do with you, but I don't want to deal with that soul stuff. But yet you're attempting to make these connections. I should not have to clean up after that mess, should I? But yet I do. Whose responsibility is it? When somebody does a drive-by soul tie and makes this hint or loft of a wrong agreement in my direction, if I'm the one that sees it, I'm the one responsible to deal with it. I don't like it, but it doesn't change anything. I tell God all the time, I don't like that. That's not right. That's not fair. And He's like, You ever know that you really can't change God's mind on some things there? And I say, God, why is it my business? Why am I the one? Let's say I don't even have a real good example, but let's say it's a friend in my past. I've dealt with the business. I've said, Lord, forgive me. I've had a wrong agreement with my friend here, and I've dealt with it. But all of a sudden, they show up, and they come back, and they try to reconnect and reestablish that soul tie. And I try to do everything. You know, you feel like a vampire. Get out your cross and garlic. You know, get back. You know, it's not like that. But let's say they try to reconnect. Whose responsibility is it to deal with that? It's mine. As a believer, we must deal with that. And there's times where I've had to say, oh, man, why am I the one that has to deal with it? Because God's the one, He's saying, I trust you, and I love you to deal with that. It doesn't take long, by the way. You deal with that, you pray about it, and you break that soul tie. You see, many times in life, it can get very, we can make it more difficult than it really is. But we have to make sure that we understand that when we deal with it, if you could break soul ties, by the way, for others, Jane and John Doe or whoever's sitting in the front, if you could break soul ties for others who were comfortable with the soul tie that they were in, they would just feel the loss. Remember when you break a soul tie, the other one feels the loss? Let's say you had the power to break the soul tie. You break the soul tie, you know what they're going to do? They're each going to feel the loss individually, and then because they feel that loss, they're going to reestablish it in a stronger way. Probably. That's why it's not our responsibility. They got to sense that their own conviction in that. So if the Lord's dealing with you about something in your life where you've made a wrong agreement, you and the Lord take care of it. Don't worry about the others. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. He will when they're ready. Because if they're not ready, if the Holy Spirit can't move them, you can't move them. You can't move them. But you can pray for them. You can love them where they're at. Well, I don't want to love them where they're at. Well, sometimes I don't want to, but that's not what the Lord told me. He said, love your neighbor. He said, love your neighbor. Love them where they're at. Pray for them. And don't pray manipulative prayers. God, you know I'm right and they're wrong, so please just help them out. Those are manipulative prayers, okay? And we've got to make sure that we understand, if you've spoken negatively about a person, repent. Repent. Repent to God for what you said, whether to their face, behind their backs, or in your prayer. Repent. And by the way, remember this, and I think I threw it in your outline, what repentance really is, or what repentance really involves. There's four things up there. Go ahead and throw them up there. It means you think differently, you change your mind, you regret your sin, and then you change your conduct. Repentance means, number one, thinking differently. Number two, changing your mind. Number three, regretting your sin. And number four, changing your conduct. You know what we usually think repent means? Oh, I'm sorry, I got caught. I hope I don't get caught again. That's not repentance. That's just, I'm caught. This is what true repentance is all about. Now, let me say just a couple words about two things. Self-sacrifice, kind of like a why we make soul ties for the sake of self, and can you have a soul tie with somebody who's passed on? You know, a lady once wrote this letter to a counselor. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with counseling. If you're not in counseling, you know, that was a buzzword in the 80s. If you said, yeah, you're in counseling, it'd be like, ooh, you must be screwed up. Let me just clear the air. We're all screwed up to some degree. They call them coaches. They call them counselors. They call them mentors. And we need those in our lives. But this lady said, she wrote a letter and said this. The person I've been dating and was going to marry broke up with me. I believe he has many deep hurts and I want to help him. I love this person unconditionally and would do anything to make any sacrifice to see him healed. Will you pray for us to find our way back to each other? And here's what the Christian counselor responded. No. That was her letter back. She did explain in more detail, but her answer was no. Even though it sounds like a reasonable request made by the young lady, too often hurting people and needy people think this way. If I'm willing to go through hell and back, if I'm willing to suffer and suffer uncontrollably, if I'm willing to go without meals and I'm willing to go without sleep and I'm willing to pay this enormous price and just torture myself, then somehow, some way, God is going to give me this special relationship because I have sacrificed myself. If you have done that and sacrificed yourself, here's what you've done. Wasted your time. You've wasted your time. Because that does not impress God. God's already paid the price once and for all. You don't need to sacrifice anything. You need to surrender. But you see, this isn't going to move God. You can't manipulate God into anything. This is a perfect example of emotional deception that can lead us into making wrong agreements. God did not create any of us to be a human sacrifice because he has no other way to heal and restore us. He made the ultimate sacrifice. It's a done deal. So we need to make sure we're not focused on the manipulating, but surrendering. What if I recognize a soul tie with somebody that's now gone, passed away? Let's say my dad, my mom, my uncle, my aunts, my son, my daughter. Let's say that they're gone now. Can you still have a soul tie with somebody who's gone? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know, but now they're gone. They're dead. There's no way I can resolve this. Yeah, there is. See, we're talking about a soulish realm. And that doesn't limit them just because their body is gone. You see, you can still deal with this. Some of us maybe are here today and you've gone through some abusive situations that happened by your mom, your dad, your grandma, or your grandpa, let's say, and they are long gone, but yet the effects of what they did to you are not. They're still present in your mind and in your hearts, and it's like it was just yesterday. You're holding on to something that God wants you to let go of. But you're stuck. I can't do it. Why can't I do it? You may even say, I want to let go, but I can't seem to let go. Why can't I? Maybe, just maybe, it's because there's a soul tie, a connection in an unhealthy way is what's keeping us stuck. Let me give you an example. This is just one example. But many of you, I don't know if you know that my wife and I, when we were younger, we had our struggles when it came to trying to have children. We experienced two or three, can't remember, miscarriages, and then we had a stillborn death. The baby was 7 or 8 months along. We went for a normal checkup. There was no heartbeat. We had to deliver the baby. We had a funeral. Many of you were here, I know, and you walked through that with us. And we named her Sydney Elizabeth, and we did everything we could to honor her and to love her, but I didn't understand why. I didn't get it. And you know, at a certain point in time in life, I was in counseling. I was seeking help because we all need help, and I was dealing with some of the emotions I felt about losing my daughter, and I said, I don't understand it. My daughter, who never saw one day here, yet she's my daughter. I don't get it, and I couldn't let go, and I was having a hard time, and what happened was is I created an unhealthy agreement, a wrong agreement, a soul tie with my daughter, my unborn daughter. How did you do that? Well, it started this way. I didn't even know I did it. It's not like I woke up one day and said, you know what, I think today's a good day to create a soul tie. I didn't even know what that was. But what happened was, is in my thought process, I was in counseling right in that office, right over there, and I sat there, and I just started crying, and I got extra emotional. You know, one of the indicators that something can kind of be a little bit off and in a wrong agreement is when you get extra emotional about things that are happening in your life. And I was overly emotional, and the counselor just said, what's going on? And I said, I don't get it. And she helped me to see, long story short, that I had a wrong agreement. And she said, why is it that you find it so difficult to let your daughter go? And I said, because, and it just shot out of my mouth before I could even think it. I said, if I let her go, who's going to remember her? That was the wrong agreement. And you see, now I notice, you know, some people can go, and it gets the emotion part. That's where the soul tie happens. That's where it gets you. Now, I'm not saying be unemotional. I'm just saying that I went, if I don't remember her, who's going to remember her? And I forgot something very, very important. Jesus is going to remember her. Jesus is going to remember her. But I couldn't see that. You know why? Because I was stuck in this wrong agreement. And when you and I, when we're stuck in a wrong agreement, we can't see which way we need to go. All we can see is what we see. And all I could see was, this is my daughter. Nobody else knew her name. She never drew a breath. She never saw the daylight. And if I don't stop remembering her, people will forget her. So I kept her alive in my heart in an unhealthy way. I kept being emotional, overly emotional, because that was my way to honor her. That wasn't healthy. It wasn't right. And it wasn't even really conscious or intentional. It just was what it was. But when I saw it for what it was, the counselor said, do you see it? And I said, I see it. And she said, do you want to break that soul tie? And I said, no. I was serious, too. I wasn't like, no, you know, not really. No, I don't want to. No, because I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I break the soul tie with my daughter, then she's just going to, like, be in the abyss in that. And that's when this counselor had to help me bring it back to a reality. Do you really think that God doesn't have a plan for her life as well? And I got to be honest. At that point, I was like, yeah, I don't think he knows what he's doing. Do you know it's okay? God can handle that, by the way. One of the things my dad said that was great advice for me when I was walking through that is he said, son, it's okay to be angry at God. He's got big shoulders. All of a sudden, I felt like I had permission to be angry. Anger's not a bad thing. It's what you let the anger do to you. That's where you get yourself in trouble. You see, you may have gone through a situation where you had some abuse in your life and somebody treated you wrong, and now they're not here, and that how dare they go and pass away without dealing with this stuff, and now I'm stuck with it. Listen, if the Lord's revealing it to you, guess what? He's revealing it to you because He loves you and because He trusts you, and He's telling you this. You've got the keys to the kingdom. Use them. Set yourself free. You can break those soul ties in the name of Jesus, and it is done. There's no reason you have to stay captive to that any longer. See, God wants us to be free. And he wants us to walk in that freedom, not to being tied down as if they're boat anchors that keep us held back, but he wants us to experience the freedom so that we can walk in that newness of Christ. So I leave this with you. Stick this in your Bible. Maybe you're going to be going through your week, and all of a sudden you're going to realize, there it is, there it is, there it is. Get this out. Pray it. Pray the prayer. You just have to mean it in your heart. Father, I acknowledge that there's a soul tie between me and John Doe. And forgive me for giving them a piece of my heart that belongs to you. I loose, crush, break, and destroy that soul tie and return that part of my heart to you. I bind my mind, will, and emotions to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this revelation. Amen. That took about 20 seconds. You mean God can do something in 20 seconds that I haven't been able to do in 20 years? You bet. You see, you've been using the wrong keys. You've been using the Ford keys to try to start the Dodge, and it doesn't work that way. And if you want to see your kingdom, his kingdom come, his will be done, then you've got to use his keys. And he says, I give them to you. Here's how I want to conclude. Maybe today, as we've been talking, things have been popping off. Maybe you've been experiencing, Lord's been revealing something to you. I don't want to just say, there, we sang four songs and did communion and had a message, go home, be blessed till next week. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Don't let another day go by. Maybe you're going, I don't even know if that's really a soul tie, but I'm just going to tell you right now, if it's crossed your radar, deal with it. Don't wait. Don't let it be something that you say, well, let's just see what happens. Because what happens, you may not like to see. Let the Holy Spirit heal your heart. I want to ask those that are on staff if you come forward. And I want to give you an opportunity, and this is how we're going to end the service. We're just going to have a chance where we get to respond to what the Holy Spirit's doing. He wants to set you free today, folks. He's here. His Spirit is present here to move in your life, to bring healing. And all you have to do is respond to the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me? And Kim's going to lead us in a worship song. And as we start to worship, here's what I want to ask you to do. If you are here today, maybe you've just been living in fear and anxiety. God wants to set you free. Today, he wants to use the keys. Maybe you're here today and you've gone through difficult, abusive situations. God wants to set you free. As we start to worship, if that's you, you come forward. You let us lay hands upon you and pray for you. And watch how the Spirit of God will set you free. If you're here today and you know that's you, come forward. If not, you're dismissed at this time. Please feel free to leave. But please don't leave if you know the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. Please don't wait because he wants to set you free. Amen. Kim, will you lead us?
To withhold.